We're getting ready for the opening game for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. The defending Grey Cup champions begin their quest for a repeat in 2026. It begins Saturday at Mosaic Stadium, 5 o'clock the kickoff. The BC Lions are visiting. And Craig Reynolds, the president and CEO of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, has more on what to expect this year at Mosaic Stadium with a championship celebration Saturday, tailgating, etc. Craig, thanks so much for joining us to tee up a new season for the Green and White.
Thanks for having me, guys. Great to talk to you as always.
So, I just said repeat. Is that okay, or do I owe you a dollar?
You're fined, Jamie Nye.
Yeah. Corey sort of set the standard there. We're not talking repeating for sure. We're talking about going 1-0 this week for sure.
Craig, just a quick thought on the Grey Cup rings. The videos are out. If you go to the Saskatchewan Roughriders YouTube page, there's a couple of really cool content pieces that you guys released. But you guys must be very pleased with that end product.
Yeah, thanks, Walker. Yeah, absolutely we are. They're just incredibly well done. And kudos to Trevor and Jameer and Jorgen for their design, you know, working with Corey and JO. I just think they did a tremendous job designing the rings, reflecting, how much this team means to the province and just celebrating the year, you know, a fantastic year last year. So I think the design was excellent and certainly it was a great night when we get to see the guys finally get their hardware for a job well done.
Can you go deeper into the design process on the thought and the ideas that were thrown around, as you just mentioned, a few players
love the game. They
really got a hands-on, ability to put their imprints on these championship rings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You form a ring committee, and so those three guys I mentioned worked collaboratively with Corey and JO. And you know, Barron's, who ultimately produced and designed the rings, were fabulous to work with. So they come with some ideas and some concepts that they've perhaps seen in other places. But it's really up to the guys to come through with what's important to them to reflect on the ring. You know, obviously we've got Rider Nation on the bottom, you know, reflecting our fans. But you know, the top coming off and the actual game ball embedded in the top was just a really cool touch that I personally had not seen before, and so I think that was truly special. But just to have the top pop off, have the full stadium in there, there's the 1-0 on the Maxtron as well. So it was just, you know, the little details that they thought of were just really impressive.
Yeah, the branding thing too. That was the coolest detail for me, was the replica of the branding board on that.
100%. And that was the one thing I wanted to keep it as much of a surprise as I possibly could for myself and obviously for others. But, you know, I'd seen most of the design, but I was not aware of the branding. So that was really cool when I saw that and looked at it and immediately recognized, they replicated the branding. That was, you know, again, really, really a good thinking by them.
So, Craig, I know you've been involved with this probably for, just knowing how governments work, probably more than the last year or maybe even a couple of years. But we're breaking new ground. We got tailgating happening for the very first time, the official tailgating happening for the very first time this coming Saturday. And I'm curious about the numbers. Can you let us know what kind of numbers we're going to see down there?
Yeah, super excited about that. I can't tell you how excited I am about that. That's something that, you know, our fans have wanted for years. We've heard that consistently. Every fan survey we've got of, you know, around why can't we have tailgating. And actually, Locker, it actually happened quite quickly. We were able to talk to the government just around that this was something that our fan base is certainly you know, looking to do and desiring. And so it moved quite quickly. And so, yeah, so they passed the Tailgating Act, and then we started working with the SLGA around the actual regulations. And so it was really around defining a spot, and we landed in the parking spot right south of the Brandt Center. And so, yeah, so we ran a lottery. There was tons of demand from our season ticket members, and ultimately there's 400 spaces, 200 spots, because everybody has a spot to park their car and then tailgate. But the real beauty of it is it's a huge space, and pedestrians can come in. So if you guys happen to have a tailgating spot and I want to come hang with you guys, or you guys are going to cook me up a burger or whatever you're going to do for me, I can pop over to your tailgate spot and hang out with you. And then on top of that, we've got a beer garden in close proximity as well. And so if you don't have a tailgate spot and you just kind of want to soak up the atmosphere, you head to the beer garden and get to experience it that way. So really excited about Saturday to launch that finally. We've been talking about it for a long time, and I know our fans have been looking forward to it for a long time.
We opened it up to questions, Craig, on the text line, and one of the questions was about tailgating and seeing it in other places. And they said some members of the organization you'd see walking around, and they're like, "What? I hope Craig comes out. Like, is Craig and some like, do you have a plan on having some rider staff linger around to shake hands, take photos, and represent the organization during the tailgating?"
100%. We were just talking about that today. So there's going to be a number of our staff out there. Obviously, the first game, we're going to have some gainers going to be out there. And yeah, I just found out we got a golf cart. I'm going to be rolling around in the golf cart saying hi to folks.
Awesome.
and potentially handing out some goodies too. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun early afternoon on Saturday.
So Craig, right now, in order to get a spot, one of those 400 spots or 200 spots, you have to be a season ticket holder. Has there been a conversation about maybe opening that up to the general public?
Yeah, certainly. We're going to look at this everything next year. So we wanted to start sort of, I'll call it just manageable. So we've got a space to find. It's a really, really big space, and we landed on the 400 spots, 200 tailgaters, but there's lots of room to expand. So we talked to the government about that. We talked to SLGA around that. So we just wanted to start like I said, manageable, and certainly we'll potentially look to expand this next year, because I'm very confident it's going to be very successful.
And of course, it's 5 hours before the game. People can start parking, right? If they have a spot.
Yeah, 5 hours. So noon on Saturday, people can roll in there and start setting up their tailgate setup.
What have you heard? Like, have fans reached out to you? Like, hey, can I do this? Can I bring an RV?
Any odd requests? Yeah.
nothing totally out of the ordinary, but I have talked to a couple fans, and they've got setups ready to go here. So that's the one thing I'm looking the most forward to. Who sort of put some design work in on this and are ready to go here? And I think you're going to see a fair bit of that, because there's been a lot of fans who've been waiting a long time for this and have been sort of building tailgate plans in their head, and they finally get to execute on them.
Well, if the innovation is anything like we get with ice fishing shacks in the winter, this should be extremely, extremely awesome.
Yeah,
for what we're getting.
Excited to see what Rider Nation comes up with, because as we know, they like to create traditions, and they're a very creative bunch. So I can hardly wait.
Craig, speaking of listener questions, we got this from David in Regina. He is just curious about whether or not there's been a ongoing conversation about extending the $5 beers.
Yeah, so the happy hour beer we're going to be extending this year for sure. So that's something that we're going to be announcing here shortly in the note before you go. But the happy hour will continue. I can't commit to the $5 pricing, as you guys can imagine. We've done some benchmarking here across the country, and as you know, costs continue to escalate. So there will be happy hour pricing, but unfortunately, it's one of those things where I think the happy hour pricing might have a slight increase.
Craig Reynolds, President CEO of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Well, what can fans expect for the championship celebration? When should people be getting to the park on Saturday? And what kind of show do you want to put on to help celebrate the fifth championship in rider history?
Yeah, we're super excited about this. We just went through the plan sort of earlier today, and I kind of had goosebumps. I got to be honest, it's going to be a special night. And I think when I think about this, there's really three special moments when you win a championship. The first is when you actually win it and you're on the field and the confetti's flying and the team's hoisting the Grey Cup, and then obviously the post game celebrations and the after party, those types of things. Second time is when you get the rings, which we were lucky enough and fortunate enough as an organization to do a couple weeks ago. And then the third one is when you get to unveil the banner in front of your home crowd, and you get your fans to sort of celebrate with you what transpired last year. So super excited about that. That's going to be a very, very special moment. You're really excited about a lot of the things that are happening on Saturday. Obviously we've got our Military Appreciation Day, so you know what that means. That means a flyover, so that always gets the juices pumping. The banner and veil as well. I mentioned the Coors Light tailgating and the beer gardens. That's exciting. We've got our security building supplies right on Park, so we've converted Confed Park into a really family-friendly area there, so people can come down early, 3 hours before kickoff, and really experience that as a family. We've got fans on the field afterwards, and we've introduced something called Showtime, which is a little bit of a change up in terms of the lead into the bring them out and the entrance, and sort of a signal to get in your seats and get ready, and a more sort of, I'll just call it a more cohesive sort of show in the lead up to the bring them out. So really excited about all those things, but certainly the banner unveiling's chief amongst them.
So when should people be in the seat for the banner unveiling? When's that going to
happen? Right before kickoff. So we always suggest that folks to get in early and get there for the bring them out, because obviously that's a special moment. So it's just going to be sort of one thing after another to bring them out, and then right after that we're gonna unveil the championship banner. So that's gonna be a special moment for Rider Nation.
So, Craig, we put out our confidence index, and we got people voting on that right now. And it's interesting to sort of get a sense of what the fans are feeling with respect to the success last year. And you know what, you guys have lost some players, and so there are some question marks about what it is that the Riders can accomplish this year. Parity in the league as well, both in the East and the West. I'm curious from where you sit and how your thoughts have developed on the culture of this team. Do you get a sense that it's a continuation of what you guys built last year, or does this team, this group, feel any different from the group that you guys were able to put together last year?
Yeah, certainly it's a new season, and every season brings its own set of challenges and opportunities, and I think for me the culture setting that's been done by Corey and JO is there, you look at pro sports and continuity is key, and certainly there's been some change, and that's going to happen after you win a championship. It's going to happen every year, but we have a lot of continuity amongst our coaching staff. We have complete continuity amongst our football operations staff, and we have a lot of continuity with our football team, and it's a veteran football team that had the success that they had last year. But yeah, every year's different. As you mentioned, the parity in the league, it's always there. It's a highly, highly competitive league. It's a highly, highly competitive division for sure. The West Division is always, always, always tough. But like I said, we've got a veteran group, and we've got the culture being set by Corey, and I certainly like where we're at.
A final one for you, Craig, and thanks for doing this today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to clear: there's nine bosses of Stuart Johnston, right? Like, you're one of nine bosses for Stuart.
Yeah, well, there's a board of governors, and yeah, it's happened. Lucky enough to sit on that, so I think that's fairly accurate.
Okay,
so nine bosses,
as one of his nine bosses,
the Blue Bombers are the model franchise of the CFL, and it's really, I think, impossible to argue with that.
The Bombers? What's going on, Craig?
Well, hey, I think that's great talk radio. Material is what I think about that. I think that's great for you guys to debate with our fans, and at the expense of saying something positive about Winnipeg, I will say they do a great job there, but we're certainly really proud of what we do here, and I think Winnipeg and Saskatchewan are not alone. There's lots of extremely well run franchises across this league, but I certainly like what we've got going on here. But I will say Winnipeg's do a really good job over there for sure. So
that was very diplomatic, Craig. Well done.
Radio.
Yeah, very diplomatic. Enjoy the hot dogs and burgers and barbecue on Saturday at the tailgate, Craig. I'll look forward to the The Craigmobile making its way around the tailgating.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they've got cooked up, and maybe I can grab a dog here or there.
Right on. That is Craig Reynolds, the CEO and president of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Game day is here Saturday, 3 o'clock, the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the 5 o'clock kickoff. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Might see a little price increase on the $5 beers and the happy hour pricing, but maybe extended hours for happy hour pricing.
I like that. That's a good trade-off.
Cheaper for longer, but not as cheap. But
might work out. About even?
Something else going up in the world for inflation?
No.
That's not happening every single day. But home uniforms, they announced the Rough Riders are teasing what they're going to be wearing this season. So you're going to see the regular home uniforms this week. The BC Lions. Then week 6, Hamilton Tiger Cats. Week 10, Red Blacks. Week 21, Elks. Week 4, that is the road game that's a home game.
Yeah.
So Toronto is out of BMO. Sorry, Toronto Stadium during the World Cup.
But they're here.
They're having a home game here. So the Riders are going to wear Blizzard uniforms. And I see a white base Rider logo. Like usually it's the white S, but it's not the big green base behind it. It's a white base. So are they bringing back the Stormtrooper looks that they had a few years ago? For the Blizzard uniforms, that's week 4. Week 8 and week 13, you will see the Obsidian Green alternates.
Yes!
Are those your favorites, are the Obsidian Green?
I like the Obsidian Green.
Of course, retro uniforms for Labor Day. An Indigenous logo, they will wear that helmet once again, week 18. And week 20, they will be wearing the 1966 Grey Cup tribute uniforms as it was 60 years ago this year, the Rough Riders won their first ever Grey Cup championship. So they will honor the 66 team week 20 with some Grey Cup tribute uniforms. And if you look at those old green jerseys, they had one thin stripe, one thick white stripe, and one thin stripe underneath it. So a little bit of a different look than the retro uniforms that you usually say, like ultra retro going back to 1966 as a tribute. To 60 years since that team led by Ronnie and George were able to capture the franchise's first Grey Cup championship.
I don't think I'm going to like the whites. The Blizzards.
The white on white.
They're not showing a lot of it, right? Like it's you don't get a really strong sense of what it is, but that's the one that
It was a very
Prairie Blizzard uniform.
It was a much debated look, the Stormtrooper look from a few years ago. What was that, 2013? 2012? Somewhere in there? When they had the white helmets, white jerseys, white pants?
I bet you the logo pops with that, though.
Oh. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised as the Riders getting set for their opening game in week 2 of CFL action tomorrow. AJ Ouellette and Nathan Rourke are going to join us here on the Green Zone to get you set for the Riders and the BC Lions.
It's a big day.
But right now, it's time for the confidence index ahead of the season. And we do this every third of the year. So 18 games after every 6 games. We started off, simple question, where do you think the Riders are going? Where does it end? Does it end with another championship? Does it end with heartbreak in Calgary during the Grey Cup? Will they lose in a West Final? Or will they miss the playoffs? Or lose in the division semifinal? 1-877-332-8255. There's a few callers. Was it yesterday? The day before? 8 wins? That might be out of the playoffs in a very strong West division.
The 13s and 5s and... That, I think, is aggressive. But the, 8 wins. Not this team. Not with a healthy Trevor Harris.
Not with a healthy Trevor Harris. That is correct. Anything happens if any team's quarterback goes down, of course. As we saw with the Montreal Alouettes, they couldn't lose in the regular season with Davis Alexander, and they did almost all but lose without him. When he was in the lineup. 1-877-332-8255. The poll is on my Twitter account, at Jamie Nipin, right at the top, easy to find, as you can vote now on where you think the Riders are going to finish. And the two favorite responses, and it's almost the exact same number, is Final Four, and that's where I'm at. I have them losing to the BC Lions in the West Final, so I'm a Final Four guy. And then almost the same amount of people are saying it's going to be a repeat. This team can do it all over again, just like they did in 2025, and win a Grey Cup championship. Grey Cup loss, not a very popular vote. And a few people say no playoffs or a division semi loss at 13.5%. 1-877-332-8255. It's the confidence index.
Go
Where
vote.
Do you see the Riders going in 2026? You can give us a call now to tell us what you're predicting for the Rough Riders season. You and Britton are in the same boat.
Repeat.
Repeating.
Doesn't happen very often.
Is it more because of Corey than maybe the team?
No, I said it earlier. We were talking about it, and we kind of got into it a little bit with Craig Reynolds when we had him on as well. I think this organization has a template and a sort of an idea of who they are. I think they've defined who they are quite well under Corey Mace.
Yep.
And I think that has eked its way right through the entire organization. And I think they have, even over the last couple of years, right, with how difficult it is to find people to fit into a, I think they've figured out how to do that. And I think they go after, they target players.
Culture is a huge thing.
Yeah,
it just is.
It is. And yet, whatever it is that they're doing, however it is that they conduct business behind the scenes, and somebody was asking specifically what you know who I was talking about. I'm talking about the management group. I'm talking about the coaching group, which is consistent from last year, right? There hasn't been a lot of changes in the coaching and in the management side of things. And I think they have an idea of who they are and what they want to do on and off the field. And I think that goes a long way. When you have, listen, it's top down, and people say this. If you have success in any organization, even outside of sports, Jamie,
yep,
it has a lot to do with...
It's leadership.
It's the leadership, and it's top down. Why? What do we highlight when we talk about the Oilers? What do we highlight? What's their biggest problem?
Leaders.
Cates. Cates is on the phone. He's in their ear. He's disrupting how things are done.
Meddling owners are...
Meddling. It's a problem.
Look at Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. 1-877-332-8255. Ian, what do you think? Where are the Riders heading this season?
Well, you know, if the Maple Leafs can plan a parade every year, then I can say that the Riders will join the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
You can say that, Ian. Do you believe it though? That's the question.
18-0.
Anybody can say it. Do you actually believe
actually,
it?
We got a good nucleus left, but we do have, I think, 9 new starters. So I still think we'll be above 500, but I think it might take us a little bit to get going to where we're a championship team. So so long as we're improving every week, especially in the second half of the year, I could see a repeat.
A lot of conversation, Ian, about losing the defensive pieces that we lost to Ottawa, specifically to Edmonton. So I think a lot is going to be answered this weekend, and you can agree or disagree, Jamie. We got Daryl coming in. It is Wednesday, right? I think it's going to be very, very telling, especially in the first half of this game against BC. What? Because the offense is there.
Yeah.
We've got one of the best receiving corps in the league. And if they can do some damage defensively, this ball club, and that comes up. A lot of the regular Green Zone listeners are still a little bit that the big question mark is defense and what that defense is going to be able to do when the whistle blows.
Kevin texting in. I was just going to say one thing no other team has in the Canadian Football League is Coach Mace. I would run through a wall for him.
Yeah.
And think you guys would too, even though we don't get paid to do it for him.
We've had
Corey Mace is that type of person. You meet Corey Mace, you talk to Corey Mace, and he has that charisma.
Yeah.
That you don't leave a conversation with Corey Mace feeling lesser than you did going into it. Like, you're usually smiling, you're usually laughing. It's a positive chat. And even when they're difficult questions, you have to fire a coach during a CFL season.
The last time we talked to Corey, I went home, I went to the garage, and I pulled out my cleats. Just in case. Just in case he gave me a tap. You good?
No call?
No call. And
you wrecked the floors, didn't you?
Well, no. The cleats, the sole fell off one of them, so.
A little old. You could head down to one of those cleats. Open camps and spend $100 to try out someday. I'll take video of that. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. 1-877-332-8255. Jorts. You and Sean Dean the other day, bringing back the jorts at a Rider camp. Confidence index time. Where would you place the Riders? How far are they going this season? Or is it right where they were last season, raising a trophy above their head, this time in Calgary, Alberta? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you on this Wednesday afternoon. A double take with Double D. Darrell Davis will be coming up at 5:05. He'll weigh in on the Riders season. Of course, the NHL playoffs, the Mike Babcock drama, and maybe talk a little footy with him, too. I wonder if Darrell's getting revved up for the World Cup.
Yeah.
It starts tomorrow.
Darrell's a sports fan, so it would not surprise me if he is casually interested in the World Cup. So, although maybe I'm wrong,
we'll find out.
He hates soccer.
See, everybody says they hate soccer, and then all of a sudden, when Canada's playing an international event, our text lines lighting up with opinions about, you know, the officiating or something, or something happens, and
I don't know.
Social media goes crazy.
I don't know what's going on with me because I've always despised soccer. I hated it. Growing up, I hated it. Tried to play it in school. I'm like, what's all this running? This is ridiculous. So I never got it. I never understood it. But I love Ted Lasso. And I love Welcome to Wrexham. Have you started watching that at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay. That is such a good show.
Welcome to Wrexham?
You haven't watched Welcome
to Wrexham? I've watched Ted Lasso.
Yeah, but you haven't watched. Okay. Yeah. That's the
Scotty's really excited about Welcome to Wrexham, by the way.
It's such a good show. But I hate soccer. So it makes no sense. It's like I'm conflicted with it. So I'm interested to see what my reaction's going to be when Canada's playing on Friday while we're
You're going to be yelling at the TV like you do for every sporting event.
Okay.
Maybe. But it'll be funny because you won't know exactly what is happening or why so you're just going to be yelling random things.
Well, I know they got to kick the ball into the net.
Yeah.
And the net's really big.
Why do they get to kick the ball? Why is that a free kick? Didn't even touch him.
I got to be honest, too. I'm still not sure what offside is. Although I think I was.
Do you want me to explain? We might have to do like tomorrow a little chat about soccer rules.
But I think
what's
going
on.
I think I was 38 before I figured out what icing was in hockey. I'm kidding. Have you had to explain icing to your kid yet?
Yeah.
Don't get it.
Don't shoot the puck down the ice before you hit the red line.
All right.
It's not that hard.
Okay, what's an offside then?
Offside in soccer.
You can't be ahead of the defender.
The last defender. Yes. When the ball is put forward, like
your teammate kicks the ball.
As soon as he kicks the ball,
the line is wherever the last defender is. And if you are closer to the net, then that's offside.
Okay.
So you have to be behind, not behind, but
okay,
in line with that last defender when the ball is put forward or you're offside. It's not that hard to figure out.
I got it.
By the way, I would get rid of blue lines in the NHL and get rid of offsides altogether in hockey.
I know. We've.
I think soccer should get rid of offsides too. If they want to cherry pick, let them cherry pick. Might get more goals.
Well, then they
less nil-nil draws.
No, I disagree with that. Not that I'm an expert on soccer by any stretch, but then they would just kick the ball down the field.
That's good.
It would just be a long ball every time.
Now look at hockey; they're flipping the puck in the air.
Oh, I hate the
alley-oop
flip.
NBA tonight, game number 4. Can the Spurs tie the series? The road team has won the first 3 games of this series. Spurs will try to make it 4 straight. Mike Babcock will be under investigation with the National Hockey League for whatever happened in Columbus if the Edmonton Oilers do trigger that investigation, because it's only going to be triggered if the Oilers actually want to hire him to be the next head coach. And Patty Mahomes is getting paid a 2-year extension, brings his total contract over $500 million, the first contract to total $500 million.
Dollars. That's ridiculous.
That's CFL's TV deal, for crying out loud, for one
ridiculous.
Guy. Daryl Davis is next on 980 CJME and 650 CKON.